Hey everybody, welcome to Disney Movie News. Today we're talking about Star Wars, DuckTales, and Cars Trace. Let's drive.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Disney Movie News.
Disney Movie News.
What is up?
Disney Movie News. What's up, everybody? Thanks for hanging out. It's Disney Movie News time. I'm Leo Camacho. I'm the guy on the far right. How you guys doing? You can follow me everywhere online at Mr. Leo Zombie. We got a heck of a show for you today. Who are you?
Oh, my God. Wow.
It's been a long day. My brain's scrammy.
I'm Sarah Sterling _ on Twitter. I'm very distracted by my PC bangs.
You check it. Now's the time.
Sarah G. Sterling on Instagram. That's
all
me.
Right. This is Sarah, everybody.
Guys, we got a jogger brand. Who are you?
Who are you?
You look strange.
My name is Andy Herndon. You can follow me on all the various social media stuff at Andy Herndon. I also host a little podcast called The DCast.
The DCast. We were on that one time.
A few times.
Yeah. You guys know Andy from the chat.
Yeah, he's always in the chat.
Yeah, for real.
We did a we did a raffle and we pulled him from the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And he's
they
on
flew
the
me
show
down
now.
Here to LA from Oregon. It was great.
We're like, Andy, we must have you on the show.
Thank you.
No, and he's in town and he's hanging out with us. We're working on some cool projects. And we thought, hey, dude, come be on the show. And he said yes. So he's on the show.
I am.
And so he's now a representative of the chat. So all of your thoughts are reflective of all of these different opinions in this room. I just, no pressure.
Okay.
You need to know that.
Just don't make me cry.
No promises.
Okay.
Sorry, dude. Can't hold up that end of the bargain. Oh, and look at all the Y's and the Andes in the chat.
Hello, everybody in the chat.
I'm excited that you're here, man. You excited to be here?
I am stoked to be here. Just to be a fan of you guys and just to be on here. It really is an honor, guys. I appreciate it more than you know.
Well, we're a fan of you, too, man.
Thank you.
High praise.
There's some news. There was some news this week.
A little bit.
The biggest being that Cars 3 came out, and we've already seen it twice. So... Mm-hmm.
I've seen it three times.
Yeah, I have three kids.
Yeah.
So
one for each car.
One for each. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. We did a screening of it. And last week, what happened was we talked about we did a non-spoilery, non-detailed, it was barely anything review of Cars 3 of our initial thoughts. But this week, it's been out for a while now, guys.
No holds barred.
It's been out for a week. That's a while.
It's not been out for a full week.
Okay, for everyone in this chat, a week is literally an eternity when it comes to Disney movies.
Yes.
I will wager that 90% of the people in this chat right now, in the live chat, because you might be listening to this on iTunes later on, watch every Disney movie that's released within the first 4 days of it being released.
That would be an opening weekend.
Yeah, opening. That's
exactly.
What I mean. Yeah, usually. Well, usually. I know Cars was kind of a stretch,
though. I feel like
though.
Cars might not... We'll see.
Yeah. People are waiting to see what this... After Cars 2, waiting to see what was going to happen with this.
Yeah, after I saw it, half of the responses that I got were...
I wasn't sure about it.
Yeah. That's all my stuff, too. Everyone's like, I wasn't really sure. I was waiting to see.
Yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, but we liked it, so...
Don't worry. We're not going to do any spoiler review discussion until the very end.
Yes. Yeah.
So you can listen to the news.
Check out the whole show. It's fine. And then we'll do a...
If you don't want to be spoiled.
Yeah, we'll do a boop, boop, boop. And then that's my spoiler alarm. Mm-hmm. But we still got some time before we get to that. First piece of news, however, is related to not cars, but spaceships. Star Wars.
Nothing but Star Wars. Yes.
Yeah, you like Star Wars.
I love Star Wars.
I'm wearing a Star Wars shirt too, by the way.
Yes. Yeah. A little Boba Fett action there.
Boba Feet. As some of you may have heard, Star Wars directors, the original Star Wars directors for Han Solo, they're not anymore.
Yeah.
Had
they already started shooting this?
They've been shooting for
yeah,
months.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, so it was Phil Lord and Chris Miller were the directors of the Han Solo...
Solo film.
Yeah, the Solo film, codename Red Cup. And they are no longer the directors. And right now, as it seems, Ron Howard is sort of reported.
He is the front runner.
He is the reported front runner for the new Han Solo film. That makes a ton of sense. First of all, we need to clarify it. Not confirmed. Mm-hmm. Simply whispers on the internet.
Yeah.
Simply whispers in the media sphere. We don't know if that's certain. But it makes a ton of sense. Namely, A, first of all, his style is very, obviously, it's very Star Wars-y. He's got that Lucas. He's got that Spielberg vibe. But more importantly, Lucas's first major hit movie, American Graffiti, starred Ron Howard.
Exactly.
So nobody understands
Lucas.
It's
in his blood. It's in his DNA.
It's literally the heart of it. Yeah, you could argue. Yeah, exactly. You could argue that perhaps... it was the Andy Griffith Show? No.
Mm-mm.
No. It was American Graffiti that launched his career,
yeah.
At least in filmmaking. So is there a more appropriate director to take this movie on, take the reins and own it?
He hasn't really had a good movie, though, for a while.
It's been a minute.
Yeah.
But maybe this is his calling.
This could be the... There was that one with Chris Hemsworth in the sea one, the killing a whale. I can't remember what that one was. And it bombed.
Wait, what? He kills a whale?
Chris Pine?
No, it was Hemsworth, wasn't it?
Oh, I was thinking of the Finest Hours. Moby
Dick. It was the Moby Dick thing, yeah. Yeah. I remember.
Funny story, but kind of gross story.
I got seasick watching that. I had to run to the bathroom in the movie theater and throw up because it was just so.
Yeah, I remember when that movie came out. I actually read that was happening quite frequently. Yeah,
I have never done that.
What is the name of that movie, dude? Can you help us find it? Ron Howard, Moby Dick.
Yeah,
it's called.
In the Heart of the Sea.
Heart of the Sea. That's what it was, yeah.
Yeah.
It was a story that inspired Herman Melville to write Moby Dick.
Oh, that's what the story
is.
Yeah,
it was a real-life story, yeah.
What, I mean, but you obviously threw up, but how did you like the movie?
I thought it was awful. It was absolutely awful. Because you had Chris Hemsworth, he has his Australian accent, and he was trying to do a Boston accent.
Oh, no.
But the Australian was coming through, and it just sounded awful.
You can't.
And then it was okay directed, but
Ron Howard, yes, horribly directed. He's got to make up for a few things.
Yeah,
I feel like he's a decent choice.
But he's had some, like, and also he has space in his blood. Apollo 13.
Okay.
I mean, so I remember going that
he's pretty good at space.
Yeah, I remember seeing that when I was a kid. I still pop that in every few months.
Apollo 13 is one of those movies. Like, as soon as it came out, I remember thinking, even as a kid when I saw it, I was like, oh, this is one of those movies that just stays in movies.
Yeah.
Like forever. Like, this is one of the movies when you go to a cinema, you will always see it in like the artwork in the walls.
Exactly.
It's like a Casablanca. It's like a period. It's very.
Yeah. Singing in the Rain, you know, Casablanca, all that.
It's
Apollo
13's
up there. And it really kind of started the Tom Hanks renaissance. That and Forrest Gump just kind of launched him out from big to this whole other realm he's in now.
Maybe this is maybe it's his time. Maybe he's due. Anyways, I don't know.
Everyone in the chat asking, like, is this normal for directors to change?
No, not really.
Especially on a movie like this.
Especially on a movie like this.
Yeah.
Now, would they still get director's credit even though they started the project?
Probably not. This happened with Brave.
I remember that, yes.
It was gonna. What's her name?
This is far more common in gaming.
I love her so much. What's her name? She directed Prince of Egypt.
I sent the fire and burned the
Prince of Egypt director.
Prince of Egypt. Underrated film, dude.
Brenda Chapman.
Yes.
Brenda Chapman was directing Brave, and then Mark Andrews is the only one with credit for Brave.
That's interesting. I didn't know that.
Yes, it's a little bit controversial.
What happened in that? Nobody knows. First of all, we should clarify, we don't actually know what happened.
Right.
It's just speculation, so we don't want to talk too much about that. Creative differences, maybe? More. I feel like Disney's pretty protective of this property, though, so that kind of makes sense.
They have their idea of where they want to take this property, and other directors may try to push it one way or another, but they know what they know. They've done the research, and they're not going to let anyone take that off.
Uh-huh. Especially with two successes under their belt.
Exactly. I mean, Rogue One and Episode 7 are huge, and so Disney and Lucasfilm are going to say, you can't.
They're like, we got a taste, we got a look, we got an aesthetic. Also, Rogue One also had an additional director added like halfway through to help them sort of punch up. That's a big reason why we got recuts and the trailer didn't match the movie and all those sorts of things. So it happens, especially now that Disney has the vice grip on the Star Wars universe and is fighting the good fight for all its fans, and I appreciate that.
I think this is just good for fans. Kathleen Kennedy, she knows what she's doing. Lucasfilm knows what they're doing. And they're like, we know our fans. We know who follows us. And we want to make the movie that they want. And that's what Disney said from the start. We want to make movies for the fans.
Yeah. So. Dude, you guys want to hear an anecdote that broke my heart? So when I was on the red carpet of Pirates of the Caribbean, one of the execs at Disney came up to me. And they were like, yeah, we almost put you in the Han Solo film. And I went, what? Why would you tell me that? I'm like, what were you going to have me do? And they're like, oh, we were going to make you one of the characters in the cantina. I was like, what? I would have had an action figure. Why would you even tell me this?
You would be Star Wars canon.
I would be... dude.
Oh, gosh.
There's still time.
Maybe. Disney, if you're listening, I love you, baby.
Yeah.
Come on.
Episode 9.
Technically, Sarah and I got to model for StarWars.com. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
You were my BB-8.
You just give a little Star Trek. Okay.
Did you just Star Trek it?
No, that's like the most insult.
I thought you were. I didn't see that from my angle. It just looks like a wall of fingers. How dare you? Get that out of here.
Star Wars.
No. There's a W for Wars. Star Wars.
Anyway. Star, no.
We tried our best.
Yeah.
On to the Cars 3 news.
Cars 3!
Easter eggs. Good. Thank you.
Easter eggs.
Everyone's we got to start. Yeah. So you guys were pretty familiar with this when we brought this article up earlier. Mm-hmm. But we got a lot of in usual Pixar fashion, we got a lot of Easter eggs hidden within the movie. Obviously, we got the Pizza Planet truck, which the truck itself was hard to see in the film.
It was. I didn't see it either time I watched
it. Me neither. I looked for it, too.
I saw the rocket, though. I made sure I looked for it the second time I saw it, and you saw it there in the Demolition Derby, just rooming around and stuff. So
right. For those of you who haven't seen it yet or weren't able to spot the Pizza Planet truck, when that car that drives sideways is coming through, there he is.
Exactly.
Yeah, the only part you see is like when the football, the rocket football.
The football.
It look, that's how they treat it. Yeah,
like this has been one of the most obvious Pizza Planet truck Easter eggs they've done in a while.
They're very obvious in Cars movies.
True, it makes sense.
And then it goes into the crowd and everybody loses them. I got it. Yeah, I like that. That was a cool touch. But I wish I could have seen the truck a little more.
Mm-hmm.
Even the screen cap that we have. Yeah, but it's like blurry.
Yeah.
Apparently, another Easter egg in the film was Cinderella's carriage, which I guess is also a car.
I heard that. I did not see that though.
It's apparently on Sterling's desk. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting because I was looking on his desk when they were in that scene. Like I was trying to find things in the background. Mm-hmm. I didn't see it.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things you just got to know to look.
Yeah.
Or you have to kind of.
Go multiple viewings, just looking at the background.
Yeah. Spend your money just to catch the Easter eggs.
Yeah, it's. I feel like on the second viewing, I spent more time looking at the landscapes and the environments and the atmosphere that they had built, and which is dumb. I should have been looking for Easter eggs, but I couldn't help it. It's just such a pretty movie.
It was beautiful.
Yeah.
It was so pretty, man. Like we did a screen. Well, we'll talk. I guess we'll talk about that later. What else we got?
Some jumped right out at me, like A113.
That was the most obvious.
That was the most obvious one. Mm-hmm. It's Sterling's office number.
Yeah.
And I truly didn't notice the Coco one at first.
Me neither.
So when Cruz is training the three rookies.
Oh, that one I noticed.
One of them has a homesickness issue that she's training him out of, and to help him, she puts a footage of his hometown on the TV screen, and it's a still clip from Coco.
Coco, yeah.
Yeah. And he says the name of it. He's like, oh, Santa, whatever. Mm-hmm. It's my home. Yeah. But
I got a bunch of dirty looks during that one because I saw that in the media. I was like, oh, my gosh. And everyone's like,
we're not all Disney fans here, Andy.
Like, why are you screaming?
God.
It's an Easter egg, guys. Sorry.
Sorry, I pooped a little bit. And then we got another Coco reference, apparently, on
this
stage.
One I did not see.
On the guitar.
Yeah. Wait, is he playing it? No, it's just on the stage.
I think it's on the bench, yeah.
Yeah, because he's playing the slide.
When they go to Smokey's.
Yeah, when they
hometown.
Go, yeah, and they drive in, and then they cut to the stage, and the little forklift car is singing, and the other one's playing the electric slide guitar, and apparently on the stage is the guitar from Coco, the white acoustic guitar, but I didn't see that.
I didn't catch it either. I will look for that.
Yeah, I'm definitely gonna go back and look for these because it seems like they should have been so obvious. Like, how did I miss it?
It's so fascinating to me when people like see the movie once and then do like a whole video on the Easter eggs. I'm like, how did you
do that?
Yeah.
Yeah, that has always boggled my mind. What's it? Santa Cecilia, my what does he say? My pueblo or something. I don't know. Yeah, that's was that it? Is that the
other
ones?
Well, and then there's the Miss Fritter one, which I've already talked about.
Let's talk about that.
This is like one that you wouldn't even probably.
This is like a meta Easter egg.
Miss Fritter in one very quick shot has a rainbow lightning bolt on her rear right window, and I wouldn't think a lot of it if Pixar wasn't themselves selling a pin of that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of in my mind as if they're trying to be like.
Hey.
Notice this.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, we're making merch of it. So, like, here's a gay character.
For real, though.
Yeah.
I feel like that's the Pixar way of supporting.
And it came out during Pride Month.
Came out during Pride Month.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
I feel like it's... Okay, I have, like, dual feelings about it, because I understand them not wanting to be like, yo, Miss Fritter's gay, and then have people be, like, so overhyped like they were for Beauty and the Beast, and then be disappointed when they see the movie. But also, it would be nicer for there to be, like, more transparency about, like, gay characters in a movie and have it not just be... I mean, it's nice that it's unspoken, but it also, like, gay people deserve more in terms of representation. When we talk about a review...
I'll take it.
Right. Mm-hmm. When we talk about our review at the end of the episode, I'll talk about the other, like, super gay thing that I think happened in Cars 3.
Oh, really? Oh, yes. Every time I leaned in when I would do it, and I was like, she's gay.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. All right. By the way, Cassandra Ariaza in the chat is saying, fun fact, my coworker's husband was the bass player in that band. He's a forklift? What?
That's very interesting.
All right. I'll take it. He probably did the recording. That's cool. That's a cool little fun fact from the chat. But yeah, that's it as far as East. That was some Sarah Super Sleuth material right there. Like, we were driving back from San Francisco, and she's like, look it up. Find the toy. Does the toy have the sticker? It does. This is...
Yeah, right, because at first I was like, is this just Lightning? Like, I was like, this is just Lightning McQueen, and they did it rainbow for Pride.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it doesn't even look like his rainbow when you... I mean, when hit, like his lightning bolt, when you compare them, his lightning bolt is really, like, wide and fat at the top. Mm-hmm. It's different lightning bolt.
Oh, we got someone we got to ban in the chat, man.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. If you don't mind up there in the booth above.
Well, I have it. I can block people.
Yeah. Thank you. But yeah, that's it for Easter eggs. That one's a cool one. Plus, she's like, she's
everyone,
like
an I have icon. A few people in the chat are referencing the Pixar theory.
Cars 3 fits in.
It does. I have to be truthful. John Negroni, the founder of the Pixar theory, is a friend of mine. He's been on my show a few times, and you can weigh whether it is or not, but I just like getting Sarah's reaction when I mention it.
I think it's cool.
People like, were like, how's cool. Coco going to fit in? And it's like, it won't, because it's not a real thing.
Yeah, nothing has to fit in. The real question is, how are people going to fit it in?
Yeah, and people are making money and writing books about this, and really? It's fun. It's fun. Yeah.
All right.
I think it's fun.
Yeah.
That's cool. Someone sad is asking if Sarah and Leo are going to be on the D-Cast. We've been on the D-Cast.
Twice. Yes.
So, time to go through those archives.
Yeah, Google it.
Listen to every episode until you find it.
Google it.
Google it. What else we got?
We also have
Cars 3 as well. There was originally an alternate ending for the movie.
A few of them.
Potential.
Yeah. They gave us a choose your own ending. What do we got, Sarah?
It was just an interview with the director where they talk about how... This is a little bit of a spoiler, I guess. Yikes.
Whoop.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, like mute for like maybe 2 minutes if you don't want to know about the ending of Cars 3.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so
if you want to mute, I'll do this, and that means you can
come back.
Yeah.
Okay. So at the end, obviously, Lightning does part of the race, and then he lets Cruz finish the race. And so they talked about how they tried like almost every different version mm-hmm. of how the race could have gone, with Lightning finishing the race and winning was like one option, and it felt hollow.
Yeah.
And him not doing the race at all and letting Cruz do it from the start also didn't feel right.
Yeah, felt weak.
And having them race against each other, that didn't feel right either. And I just find it interesting that it seems like they did truly try everything.
Mm-hmm.
Try everything.
I mean, I think at one point Shakira even raced. It was nuts. No, I think they did the right thing.
I think
this is
the best possible.
It felt like a passing of the torch. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now, with this, did it feel a little weird with the switch there, you thought?
I felt like I knew what was going to happen, but I couldn't anticipate how it was going to happen. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I was like, I know that Cruz is going to race in this race.
Yeah, me too.
Like one-third in, yeah. I mm-hmm. knew that was going to happen.
Exactly, yeah. Me too. It's like, she's going to be the racer. But especially when she started telling her story.
I still felt like it was a little like unexpected, also because I don't know how NASCAR works, mm-hmm. and I didn't know that like that could happen.
Yeah, it feels like a weak loophole, but it was like, all right.
And the director even addressed that. It's like, yeah, it's a loophole, but it drove the story forward. It made the story
happen. It's nice because they both get to win. Like, Lightning still wins that deal with Sterling, and that's really kind of gratifying also.
Wow, he stays cool. Wow.
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 All right, are we done talking about it?
Yes.
Give us the jazz hands.
All right.
Spoiler alert.
We're done being spoilery.
Come back. So that's the alternate ending. But that's the end of Cars 3. Now we're going to go to the beginning of DuckTales. We got an intro.
Yes.
Let's watch it.
Intro.
And let's talk about it.
To DuckTales.
Woo. I'm so excited. Here in DuckBird.
Launchpad McQuack.
His plane looks like him.
I love it.
DuckTales.
Is that a reference in the movie right there?
Yeah, I'm like, is there going to be a pool of money or what? Why is he just chasing his money all over the place?
Because that's Scrooge. Every penny counts.
Where are those weird dog boys?
Oh, the mummy. Good reference. Mm-hmm. Even at the same part of the song, too.
Yeah. Beagle Boys.
I love the Beagle Boys. I want cosplay them. Yeah, there's that money.
Oh, that robot's also
the robot there. Yeah,
Glomgold.
I was
wow. She's been working out in this version.
Money diving. Love it. Oh, love everything about it.
That is
bless you, DuckTales. That's how you rebrand my childhood.
Yes.
Way to go.
So many afternoons wasted watching that. Not wasted,
man. No. Well spent.
Well spent.
Here's
well
what's spent. Up. I am so obsessed with Tangled, the TV series.
Yes. I'm like watching the replay on your computer as it like I'm watching
I'm
what they're
like,
saying.
I'm just like so excited for this.
I'm
I
so
think
excited.
It's going to be so good.
Well, I feel like DuckTales is like the Disney afternoon.
It
like,
is.
Like it's
yeah.
like it's the cornerstone yeah. of that whole
because of
thing.
That you had Tailspin and Darkwing Duck.
Chippendale,
yeah. Rescue Rangers.
Yeah, because I mean like when you think about all of those, although yes, they obviously in their own right were very popular, mm-hmm. none of them sort of transcended like DuckTales did.
Yes.
DuckTales is the one that people still remember. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was the best video game.
I found that NES game. I still play it at home with my
yeah.
kids.
No, it got an HD remake. It got yeah. a full HD redrawn.
I love that game.
The only Disney Afternoon. They all came out recently in the Disney Afternoon collection, but DuckTales was like the one. It's still considered one of the best platformers of its time.
Yes.
So like that game, everything DuckTales did, and I mean Scrooge McDuck, what a strange choice for like the main character.
Uh-huh.
But still commonly referenced.
Exactly.
Weird. Yeah. I'm that was great. I loved all the little references. The robot was good. The mummy and the danger part was really good.
I love the style of animation they're using. It's yes, kind of in line with the Tangled TV series and the new Mickey Mouse cartoons.
Yeah, we love the way the Tangled series looks. Yeah, like, we think it's beautiful. So beautiful. Yeah, the new Mickey Mouse cartoons.
Yes.
This is like a cleaner version of those, which mm-hmm. I like better.
Yes.
Mickey Mouse ones get a little weird sometimes, which is cool. I'm into it, but...
Yeah, and all the talk about ruining, I've seen a lot of talk online about people saying, oh, it's going to ruin my childhood. No, it's not.
It doesn't take anything away from your childhood.
But if anything, this one is doing it justice. Interestingly enough, here's a fun side fact. A couple, like 2 weeks ago, I think it was, three weeks ago, I got to host a show and interview two different projects, but same day, with Phil Lamar. Phil Lamar, if some of you don't know, he's like a prolific voice actor. He's basically in everything. He was the voice of Static Shock. He's the voice of Aquaman lately. He's the voice of Samurai Jack, most famously. And we were talking about voice acting.
Mm-hmm.
And I brought DuckTales up to him. And I'm like, oh, did you know that David Tennant is voicing Scrooge McDuck? And he's like, what? He was like blown away by the fact that they got David Tennant to be Scrooge McDuck. And he's like, who else is in it? I was like, I don't know, like half the cast of Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
And I just started, like, we just started naming things. And he goes, you know what they call that? And I was like, what? And he goes, they call it a recast waiting to happen. It's like he's afraid that they cast too big and that mm-hmm. these actors won't be able to continually fulfill the roles.
Yeah.
And he's like, I can't wait to get a call for DuckTales now.
Oh my God.
Jesus, Phil Lamar. Brutal. You're so savage. I hope that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
He was obviously joking. It's Disney. They can retain talent for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But good Lord, is that ambitious.
Yes.
Good Lord, is this show ambitious. I'm stoked. I'm shook.
It's transcended so many generations. My kids,
has.
I bought the DVDs. My kids love it.
DuckTales still holds
up. And they're excited for the new series now, too.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, and it looks like it like honors a new series. It looks. I'm glad that Donald is prevalent.
Yes.
Like, he's not just going to pop in like... Oh,
like
Uncle
in the original
Donald.
Series, yeah. He kind of popped in and out. He's in the Navy. He's all over the world. But he's actually there with them, a part of the series.
And hopefully we get his attitude, too. I like scrappy Donald. And in-game launchpad looks good. He got a plane this time. He looks like Baloo's plane a little bit from Tailspin. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I'm excited about that. And then we got a little bit of Aladdin news for you guys.
Aladdin.
Thomas Hardy. I don't actually know if his name's Thomas. Tom Hardy was rumored, right?
Was rumored.
Speculated to be playing Jafar in the Aladdin movie. And it has been confirmed that he is not.
Think my glob.
Yes.
Yeah, it is a think glob situation, but my response is, yeah, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it is Guy Ritchie, so I wouldn't put it past him. But they made such a big deal about casting
Middle Eastern, yeah.
Why would just throw it away on Tom Hardy? Which, don't get me wrong, Tom Hardy
could,
my top three.
As an actor, he could pull this off.
He could do
such
anything.
A good method actor.
He could do anything.
But you have a movie set in the Middle East, and they've already said, we're going to cast Middle Eastern actors, and this came out, you're like, okay.
Can you just imagine?
Iago, on a scale of 1 to 10, you are an 11.
Of anything, though, I would have the least issue with the villain being white.
That is, yes.
Relevant, topical.
It's fine.
He doesn't come. I mean, he could pull it off, but he doesn't strike me as a Jafar. You know?
Yeah. He's got a lot going on, too.
Right. And yeah. But in other Tom Hardy news, he's speculated to be playing Venom in the Venom movie, and which that is also getting retooled right now.
Also, that is going to be MCU. In the MCU.
No, it's not. It's gonna. So
I almost put that in because that like
it's not in the MCU. So here's how it works. Because that movie is 100% Sony. Mm-hmm. Spider-Man is allowed to play in both.
Yes,
the MCU and the Sonyverse. Mm-hmm. Sonyverse is glorified fan fiction. Okay. Spider-Man can go hop in and out, but they are not mutually exclusive. So if he's in the Venom film. Mm-hmm. It's not canon. If he's in an MCU film, it is canon. Only characters that show up on the MCU side count as MCU canon, but the film doesn't necessarily do that. Homecoming does, because Marvel like opened the door and said, this one is, here's Iron Man. But Venom, first of all, it's weird that Venom's getting a movie as a hero predominantly first. Does that mean that we're not going to get a symbiote Spider-Man movie? Does that mean that he never gets to be a villain first and then be an anti-hero and then be a hero? And then they're going straight. The big news was that it went straight to Carnage. The first Venom film, his first villain is Carnage. And in an ideal world, what you would have is we get Homecoming, then we get Spider-Man meeting the symbiote and fighting another villain, then rejecting the symbiote. Then we get Spider-Man versus Venom, and as a second movie or third movie technically. And then we get the last movie as Spider-Man and Venom versus Carnage. That's the perfect world, but because it's the perfect world, it'll never happen. Sony doesn't like to wait.
Do you think Sony will try to keep it, even though it's like glorified fan fiction, in line with the MCU so it doesn't contradict?
No, I don't think they have any obligation to do that, which is a shame because I think they should try.
Yes.
But the fact that they're already jumping the shark and going straight to Carnage means that they'd kind of, they're at, you know, dollar signs in their eyes.
They're cashing out,
Yeah. Which is a shame because Spider-Man finally getting the MCU is like huge, and I'm glad. And Disney. What I like about it is like Disney embraces Spider-Man more. Have you noticed? Mm-hmm. Since he was in Civil War, Spider-Man's like way more present in Disney properties.
And in the parks too.
In the parks, his image is everywhere. The toys are everywhere now. Because it's like, oh, we got some ownership over Spidey. Now we can make some money on the merchandising. But I don't, you know, you're not going to see that for Venom.
Yeah.
You know? So. Yeah,
it's too bad.
Yeah. Sorry, guys. We're getting deep in this. But like, it's crazy news. Like, the fact that this is happening in the cinematic sphere right now. Is nuts, but
you don't see studios play nice.
This is weird. Yeah, this is super strange. Yeah, exactly. They're playing nice for a little bit, and then they kind of they're like, "Oh, money, let's go." but yeah, Tom Hardy not being Jafar. Who would you cast as Jafar? By the way, that's a tough one. No actor pops into mind immediately.
Ben Kingsley does, but he's
That would be epic.
Wow, that was really.
Have we never talked about this before.
No, really did hit the button. Dang, that's a really good cast. Mandarin instead of Bane. Yeah, I'll take it. It's so funny because one of the things people were saying is Tom Hardy super yoked out as Venom, and then Christian Bale from The Machinist super skinny as Carnage. They're like, let him have a rematch in a different universe. That's Batman.
We gotta keep going.
Yeah, we gotta keep going. I guess that's it for Tom Hardy news. There was really nothing there.
Yeah.
Last but not least, Disneyland attraction reopenings announced. Sarah, take it away.
Finally.
Yeah. So I mean, with Star Wars Land construction happening, a lot of things have been out of commission at Disneyland for a while now. Primarily, all the attractions and nighttime spectaculars on the Rivers of America because they had to. Push in the train track to make room for Star Wars Land, and so the trains were shut down. So everything's coming back, which is really exciting. Star Wars Land is obviously not done.
But you can see it as you're pulling into the parking lot.
The parking lot, the structure?
Yeah, and Sarah, we're driving to Disneyland the other day, and Sarah goes, oh, look, we can just see Star Wars Land in our face as we park.
Yeah, it's true. It's, like, really there. So the first thing that reopened, it's already open. It was on last Friday, the Pirate's Lair. I obviously Tom Sawyer Island is what I want to call it, but it's not like
I still call it Tom Sawyer Island.
I know, right? I'm like,
it Tom always Sawyer will be.
Yeah, that's how I grew up with it.
Yeah, just like it's always going to be Mad D, no matter what. Yeah.
Oh my God. And then on Disneyland's birthday, July 17th, Fantasmic will return with all the changes.
The new changes.
Look, there's Murphy.
There's Murphy. All the supposed changes, which I don't know if we've ever gone over on the show. Do you know about this?
About what?
The changes coming to Fantasmic?
Oh, please tell me.
They're adding an Aladdin sequence instead of Pinocchio.
Ooh, are they casting as Jafar?
Ow, no.
Well, I mean, Pinocchio's the one sequence that can go.
Yeah, well, Pinocchio's my favorite movie, Disney movie, so.
I know, but it's just like, down, one jump,
light strings, light strings.
Yeah, that's all it is.
What if they, like, cut to it and it's still the strings, but it's Aladdin?
Right, well, it's crazy. They took this permit out for a flying carpet rig.
Really?
Yeah. Pirates instead of Peter Pan, which is the killer for me. That really saddens me.
You can do both.
Right.
It'd be great if, like, Peter Pan was fighting Jack Sparrow. Or, like, as he's fighting Hook, Jack Sparrow, like, takes over the... See, I would be down for that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what that show's about, right?
The coming together and all the crossovers.
That would be so cool.
I don't know if it's been clarified, but all that was kind of rumored, not rumored, but like what leaked was that there's going to be a Rapunzel barge in the princess section.
Okay.
And it was unclear whether it's replacing Snow White or coming in addition to Snow White. So we'll see.
I think it's important to add Rapunzel, a new princess, in there.
Right.
Well, Rapunzel's earned it, I feel.
Yeah.
Like, she's one of the, you know, she's like the new gen princess that actually deserves to be up there.
You're saying Frozen doesn't?
What's that?
Saying Frozen doesn't?
We don't need Frozen.
Well, I don't see, the thing is, I don't consider Anna or Elsa a Disney princess.
Well, they're not
princess.
Official Disney princesses.
They're not,
princesses. No, of course. I don't even mean to an official capacity. I just mean aesthetically.
Yeah.
Like, they don't fit the mold. And I'm not saying they should, but I'm saying that in that particular segment, it doesn't quite make sense. Like, neither would Mulan.
Yeah.
And she is a Disney princess.
And we got Frozen throughout the rest of the parks. So.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
So, Fantasmic comes back July 17th. I'm super excited to see it on Disneyland's birthday. I will definitely be there. And then everything else opens up on July 29th, which includes the Davy Crockett Explorer Canoes, the Mark Twain.
Wait, are they saying that someone in the chat is saying that the Lion King is replacing the Dancing Monkeys?
Pachyderm!
Ooh.
Yeah, there's Lion King stuff happening in the whole, like, Ka Jungle Book time.
I just don't want old Disney stuff to like lose its presence.
I've heard mixed
that's what
stuff
I don't want
about the Dancing Monkeys. Because I heard one rumor that their suits were being updated.
Yeah,
and so I'm waiting to see what if they're actually being taken out or not. Yeah. I really hope not.
That'd be, especially with the success of the Jungle Book live action.
Yeah,
like, keep it in
there. You got to keep it in there. Yeah. And it's like a cool effect. Like, it, I like seeing really the cool Ka like up on the stage.
The monkey, like the whole monkey.
The
part
monkeys
gets
is like
really,
whatever.
No, the monkey part is not whatever. That part gets like really intense.
No.
Like the
that's
music fills and then like
part
the monkey
the
chanting sounds. It's like, it's kind of like, oh
it
my god.
It kind of jars you a little bit.
Yeah. You're like, oh my god.
I'm just
god
like, I don't remember taking drugs.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those things. That's what it feels like. That's what it feels like.
And then it's just like, Pachyderm.
Yeah, that's my favorite
get
part of the
whole show. Get that part out. I don't need that.
No, that's the best part. That's my literal favorite part of the whole show. Pachyderm.
Because when you're watching, you wait for it.
Yeah.
And you say
because it's one of those moments when it happens, you're just like, what? What? Where did that come from? I'm with it.
Right. See, like Eric is saying, the monkeys are staying, but the Lion King is replacing Ka. Like,
see, that affects the lasers.
I know. The Ka part's really cool.
It is cool.
Disney World's Fantasmic has a lot of Lion King in it. Mm-hmm. I kind of imagined it just kind of becoming someone more like that. But whatever.
I get it. I get it. But there, again, this is what I was saying. For like a long time, I remember thinking, how do kids even know Mickey Mouse is right now? Like, obviously now there's Mickey's...
Mickey Mouse Clubhouse
Mickey Mouse
and the
Clubhouse,
Road Racers, yeah.
And obviously now we're getting all the YouTube shorts and stuff like that. So Mickey is prevalent now.
Yeah.
But I would say, like, I mean, that wasn't the case 7 years ago.
Yeah.
I would say most of the 2000s, actually. Like, he had no presence anywhere.
Anywhere. Nothing online or shows or anything.
So I would, like, you know, it's 2005, and I would see, like, a five-year-old at the parks, and I'd be like, how does that kid know who Mickey Mouse is? Mm-hmm. Other than clothing from Target.
Yeah.
You know, he had no presence. And like, obviously, Mickey Mouse is prolific. He's the most iconic character, arguably, of all time with, like, Super Mario, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the case for junk, like, Ka.
Yeah.
Like, that's not going to exist anymore. Peter Pan, although, like, obviously, he's prolific. Mm-hmm. Like, what new media other than, like, the Tinkerbell movies? And that's Tinkerbell's spotlight.
Yeah.
Like, we don't have, here we go,
exactly,
that version of Peter Pan anywhere. So if we take him out, then where's his presence? I like when
he's hopping through the park causing trouble.
Right, that's what I like. I like when there's like one thing like, oh, he's still in Fantasmic, or oh, this still, you can see this if you go
he's
there.
He's still in a lot of things.
You know what I'm saying, though.
Yeah,
like,
know.
I'm not specifically pointing out
Peter
Pan.
He is so iconic within the Disney canon. It's like Peter Pan.
But Ka, you know, like Ka's going to lose out. Pinocchio, what else does Pinocchio have? He has a ride, I guess.
He's a ride.
So that's pretty good.
Yeah.
What do the glowing monkeys have, though? They got nothing, man.
I have to just say a short piece about just like accepting change, guys.
I'm okay with change.
No,
I just,
not
I just
you
like
guys.
Presents.
Like, just the chat, because the chat's like, oh my god. Guys, I grew up going to Disneyland. Fantasmic is my favorite thing at any Disney park. Like, I grew up dreaming of being a dancing neon monkey.
Did you
like,
really?
Yes, I wanted to be one.
I told
know
you they
the
were
dance.
Important.
I just
do
like
it.
No, not here. There's no space. Okay. And. Like, yes, so I'm just saying, like, I'm like, I have the most reason to be sad. Like, I'm very sad. Mm-hmm. Like, it's going to be different. You can still see HD video of the original.
Yeah, it's on YouTube.
You're going to be able to listen to the original.
Yeah,
like,
I still
listen to the original Space Mountain score.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Like, I only listen to original World of Color score on iTunes. Like, it's gonna it's be okay. fine.
Yeah. Like, and look, I don't mind them changing things. Mm-hmm. I just hate when characters are just like eliminated from
right. I was totally not talking about your point. I was just going off of the chat. Kind
ultimately,
of
it's aligned with what Walt Disney wanted for the parks. They're always growing, always changing. Yeah. So,
I think the issue comes when it's overwhelmingly due to like marketing demands. Mm-hmm. You know, like Frozen's everywhere because Frozen's hot.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't remember when. Like, maybe even Lion King didn't get, like, an overwhelming presence in the parks when it was, like, the top of the top of the top.
Disney was completely unprepared for the success of Frozen. Like,
yeah.
In the parks, like, you couldn't buy anything.
But how much effort have they put into capitalizing
exactly.
on it? Exactly. You know, it's like, here's a Frozen stage show. It's like, we didn't want one. Ah, I don't care. Aladdin, you're out. Frozen, you're in. All right, cool. Hey, Frozen, you can go watch this sing-along in the thing. Okay, cool. Oh, Slide Fest. Oh, we got it. It's popular. Thanks, dude. Anyway. Shall we talk about Cars for the last 10 minutes of the show?
Sure.
Right. I mean, I'm not.
Finish your thought. Finish your thought. Good call, babe. Good.
No, it's just like Allison is saying Walt changed things that didn't work. He didn't change things for no reason. He did change some things for no reason. Okay. I'm not saying that Fantasmic isn't being changed for no reason, but also it's a show that's been around for over 20 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
that is true.
To expect it to stay exactly the same. First of all, it's already changed in our lifetimes. Ursula used to be in it.
Yes.
Like, there are things that have changed about it, and we just didn't have Twitter at the time. Mm-hmm. And, like,
I'm totally into it. I also like the shock factor that change brings.
Right.
I like when you have to be like, oh, well, now I got to see this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, you got to see it because it's new. You're used to the same thing for 20 years.
And I think for kids, you know, they see that and like, oh, why isn't so-and-so in this? And who are these other movies we haven't
that's
seen?
That's how you bring these new things into the forefront. Mm-hmm. That's another reason why the Frozen extravaganza is a little disappointing because it's like, we got it.
Mm-hmm.
We got it. Like, give other properties a chance. Like, why is there no, like, Big Hero 6 presence?
Yeah, especially in Tomorrowland. Like,
Dude, right?
The arcade, they can... It still ticks me off that upstairs in the Starcade is
not... Oh, my God.
I remember going up there as a kid, and now it's, like, mm-hmm. it's a not moving...
Yeah. It's a dead space. I gotta explain. I mean, I'll be upfront about the way that some of the character stuff works at the parks is that when there's a character meet and greet in the parks, the Walt Disney Studios pays for that character.
Mm-hmm.
And so... when a new movie is released, you'll notice that a character debuts at the parks, like right when Moana came out, they were there. Right when Wreck-It Ralph came out, there was a Ralph meet and greet. When Big Hero 6 came out, there was a Baymax meet and greet.
I had a whole exhibit there, and it was put there through Disney Theatrical. As a matter of fact, parks didn't even know that I had an exhibit in the parks.
After the initial run of a character, studios gets to decide if they want to continue pumping money into having that presence in the park. And if they don't see it as necessary for, like, boosting their revenue, they will not continue paying for it. Which is, like, you know, studios decided it was worth it to have Baymax and Hero in... Mm-hmm. Well, not Hero. Hero's not in Epcot.
He shows up, doesn't he?
I think it's just Baymax. And, like, not at Disneyland. And, like Disneyland, I think, is keeping Moana, and, like, Moana's nowhere else except for Aulani.
Yeah.
So it's a lot more nuanced than I think people realize.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a business. And you have to make business decisions.
Exactly.
And I get like, we claim a little too much ownership as fans.
We do.
Mm-hmm. We need to chill out. But
yeah, Disney fans can be a bit snobbish
at
times.
Oh, I would say so.
Itty bitty bit.
Yeah, thanks.
Potential Disney fans.
We get called out all the time for being so negative on the show.
We're just realistic, I think. Uh-huh. We don't. I mean, Disneyland is about fantasy, obviously, but we don't live in a fantasy world. Like, mm-hmm. we live in a real world, and we know that money makes decisions.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if you guys want to keep the characters, you are more than welcome to donate hundreds of thousands of dollars to the parks to make sure that happens.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. So
donate.
You
to
can
Disney.
Make.
That's
you can
because
totally
Disney.
You can make it happen. You know. Anyway, yeah, opinion doesn't drive ticket sales, you guys.
Cars 3. We're going to talk about it for like 7 minutes.
Okay, so spoiler alert, if you don't want to know anything about the movie, now's the time to say goodbye to all our company.
Spoiler alert.
There we go.
But if you want to hear our thoughts on the movies, on the movie, and, you know, don't mind getting spoiled a little bit. I mean, we're not going to tell you every single thing, but you get the drift. Okay, let's do it.
Andy, what did you think?
Yeah, Andy.
I am so critical of Cars 2.
Mm.
I went into this on a little rant online about...
Who isn't, right?
Yeah, about what they couldn't do. My biggest thing was Mater.
Oh,
I can't stand the character. for a lot of reasons.
You know what? It's real quick. I love how the movie starts with Mater. And then you're just like, no. And then he's like, and then literally it's, Mater, get out of here.
My wife literally looked over at me, like the first thing is like, Mater, hey. I'm like, dude, I seriously have popcorn in my hand. I wanted to throw it.
That was such a nod to that.
Yes.
Like it was Pixar going, we're just trolling.
Yeah.
And then, yeah.
We saw him like three more times and one of the times was like on a video chat and it was fine.
Yeah.
He
Mater got what like Jack Sparrow should have had in the new Pirates movie.
Exactly.
Like you're a supporting character, dude.
But overall, the animation was beautiful.
Yes.
Oh, absolutely gorgeous. Epic. The story was great.
It was solid.
It was, I think Sarah would agree, it was the best Pixar sequel that wasn't a Toy Story sequel.
Of course.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I think it was the best one I don't know if you would. I guess you do agree. It's the best one since Toy Story 3.
Yes, absolutely.
I know a lot of people will say they prefer Finding Dory, but I personally like this better than Finding Dory.
Yes, I do too.
Finding Dory was really... It was good, but it was fine. It was fine, yeah. It was great.
It was on the good end of fine. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's how I put it.
So I went off in my non-spoiler review about how kind of overt the, like, somewhat feminist message of Cars 3 is.
That's
and
right,
a lot of people have been asking me to talk about an article that came out claiming that Cars 3, like, promotes faux feminism or has faux feminism in it. I read the article and I, like, super disagree with it because its premise was just that, like, Lightning McQueen spends the whole movie mansplaining and, like, talking to Cruz about how she doesn't know what she's doing even though she's very talented and, like, thinks he knows better and isn't willing to, like... use her methods, and all of that is true, but that's part of his arc in the movie.
Yes.
Like,
that was the arc in the first one.
Also,
right.
Yeah.
He's not without reason. I mean, he's literally the greatest racer of all time.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, he definitely, like, mansplains to her.
He does.
But then the whole climax of the movie...
Does he mansplain or does he race-splain?
Sure. What I'm saying is, at the end, the whole climax is him being, like, your techniques were correct, and I'm going to use them to coach you.
I just didn't see it.
It is her techniques
that
helped her win.
It was a realization, yes.
And she just didn't believe in herself. So I'm just like, no, it's not faux feminism. Like, what I really like about it is that, like, Lightning McQueen is an example of, like, what dudes sometimes need to do in society where they need to realize that sometimes there might be, like, a minority or someone that doesn't get given the opportunities that they do, and they need to be the one to make space for them, which is what he does. And it's great. And that's what dudes need to do sometimes, and they
usually still come
out
a winner
in the end.
Yeah,
exactly. I put this
online. Nobody loses.
I was so excited to see that message. To take my daughter set because for so long within superhero movies and other Disney movies that wasn't there for my daughter to see that and to feel empowered by that. At a young age, like even like with the Wonder Woman going on now, I want to take my young daughters to see that because they got excited about the trailer and to see that trend that my daughters can know they can do whatever the heck they want and they don't need someone's permission to do that and they can be empowered. It's so important. I specifically took both my daughters to go see it because I wanted them to hear that message.
Exactly. And I like the idea that worked once. That's the way things were. You understand things according to the way that you operated once, and sure, in that world, perhaps that was relevant. But now, it no longer works anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to actively make a change. You have to accept that things are different now, and you have to take a back seat to the new world, right? Like, things have changed. Make way.
And you saw the struggle with Lightning McQueen in that he... It was hard for him to do, but he was able to come to terms with it, and he did it.
And
he let it go.
Dude, we are full of references right now. It was interesting because last week we were saying that this movie was about one thing. No, it's about another thing. No, it's about a lot of things. Mm-hmm. Like, I do, you know, obviously it has a feminist message in there. Mm-hmm. And obviously it's a story of like, how minorities perceive the difficulties of making
it. Well, minorities or women. That's what I like about it is that Cruz is both female and...
And neither one of them has...
supposed to be Hispanic. And it's not really, like, pointed out, but it's, like, relevant
to
the
message.
No,
it is. Her last name is Ramirez. Right. And her first name is Cruz.
But what's funny is, like, Tiff was like, oh, they never say she's a girl. They don't, except once. When Jackson is like, they put the girl in the race?
Yeah.
Like, that's the only time they say it.
And when they say she...
Right.
They say she a few times.
Yeah.
But they don't make a big point.
Right.
But it's just there.
Right. Exactly.
Can I talk about my gay moment?
Yeah, please.
Natalie Certain is gay for Cruz Ramirez.
So, so certain that she is. It's like
I know that it it's supposed to be like her being like shocked by Cruz doing so well and being just like impressed because she's all about the numbers. Like, I know that's what it's supposed to be.
But the vocal fry.
But I fully read it like, I lean
over to Sarah and I'm just like, oh, she's
gay cars.
Gay cars.
Gay cars.
And then the second time we saw the movie, it came up again and I just went,
gay.
She totally was a gay car.
Yeah. So Natalie Certain.
Fairly certain that Natalie is gay for Cruz Ramirez. And I'm not going to put it past Cruz Ramirez. She might be into it.
Whatever.
You know?
Who cares?
So, there was that one line that I feel summed it up the best. It's the whole movie sort of summed up into that moment. Right. She was like,
How did you know you could do it?
And he's like, "Well, there was never a moment that I thought that I couldn't." She goes, "I wish I could say that."
Yeah.
Right. And
yeah.
I was just like, "Oh."
Deep cuts. Women.
That whole scene where
minorities, women, everything. You can apply everything to that.
That whole scene was so powerful.
Yeah.
So powerful.
Gosh.
It was the pivotal moment in that movie, and it was the turning point in that movie.
Yes.
And it was like, it was sort of them saying like, "Okay, obviously this is an important message. So from here on out, we're going to do what we can to make sure that this is righted, right? And this can't be anymore. Lightning McQueen can't teeter totter anymore. This is the moment he realizes he's wrong. Mm-hmm. And you know, some people just got to realize they're wrong, man. No more, man. No more carsplaining." You heard me say, Madeline, you were in the theater. You heard me say, "Gay car." yeah, man. It's that was one of my favorite moments because it's so capped. Like that moment's like, oh, hey there.
Now, Allison's saying she left the theater wanting to see a Cars 4. Would we want to see a Cars 4? Or we
not for like a while.
Not for a while, but like it would make sense if they did it, and I wouldn't be mad.
Yeah. And once the sales of the toys start going down. That's my big. I actually did a video on this once. How you can go to Toys R Us.
Yeah.
There is not a Toy Story section in Toys R Us, but there's always a Cars plane section.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, God. Cars is the biggest. Franchise.
There's still planes there too.
Oh,
yeah.
My God. Look, I don't care about the toys to be honest, but I do want one toy. I want that recolored Lightning McQueen toy.
That's legit.
That was
I didn't like that,
so
but it's
hot. Oh, I loved it. It was such a cool moment for me.
I collect the diecast ones.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I would love
Dude,
that.
Dude, I don't know what that moment was. It was like him like stepping into the role of Doc, and it was it was like, oh, Lightning McQueen not being red, but now it's this cool midnight blue. Like, I was like super into it, you know?
I was so weirded out by it.
Really? I loved it.
Why? I was like, but like Doc didn't do that for Smokey. Like,
No. But sure, but...
I get it. I know it's probably not
permanent either. Lightning's personality. And who
it
he
did.
Was.
It fit with his personality, and like Smokey trained Doc, right? But Doc redefined the way that Lightning thought of himself and thought of racing,
right.
And like brought him. You know what I mean? Like
I get
he
it.
Changed his whole life. I mean, he moved. He lives in Radiator Springs now.
Yeah,
you know, like everything about Lightning changed. He wasn't a jerk anymore. He wasn't like Hud was trained, but Lightning was changed.
Mm-hmm. Bingo!
Boom! That's what's up, and that is our review. Okay, let's see. How many? Let's see. What's the rating? What's your Rotten Tomato score?
Oh my god!
Out of five, we'll do five cars out of five cars.
Three and a half
cars out of five.
Yeah, I would say 3.5. We're almost like a 3.8.
3.75 cars out of five cars.
Yes.
That's where I put it. So there you go, guys. There's our official review. Thank you guys for watching Disney Movie News. It's been fun. You can follow me everywhere online. Not everywhere, but Mr. Leo Zombie. On Instagram, Leo Zombie on Twitter. You can do that if you'd like. What can they follow you, Sarah?
I'm Sarah Sterling _ on Twitter and Sarah G. Sterling on Instagram. Thanks for watching, guys.
And huge shout out to Andy, dude. Thank you so much for joining
Thank
us.
Thank you guys
here.
For having me. I love being here.
I'm so glad you were able to. I'm glad that it ended up being like, hey, man, why don't you come be on the show?
I love it, yes.
Yeah.
Where can they follow you, dude?
All various social media networks at Andy Herndon or YouTube at Andy Herndon or go to thedcast.com. You can check out the Dcast on iTunes and all the various podcast networks.
Do it. It's
do
great.
That.
And we'll see you guys next week.
We love you guys. We'll see you next week.
Later.
Later, Mater.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network. The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.